Hello, I'm Mike Horace with your WCMU Morning News Roundup for Monday, October 26th. With the presidential election only a week away, Democratic vice presidential nominee Kamala Harris campaigned at a handful of drive-in events in Metro Detroit yesterday. Quinn Kleinfelter has more.
Harris barnstormed from Detroit suburbs to the city itself, saying the stakes are too high in this election for voters to just stay home, as some Democrats here did in 2016. At a church in Southfield, on a day when the White House chief of staff said COVID-19 is too contagious to be controlled, Harris said healthcare workers in particular must make a stand.
People who reject the notion that we cannot control this virus. People who know in a moment of crisis, real leaders step up.
About 100,000 people have already voted early in Detroit. The president won Michigan in 2016 by fewer than 11,000 votes. I'm Quinn Kleinfelter.
Gun rights groups are trying to reverse Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson's ban on openly carrying firearms where people will be voting or where ballots are being counted on Election Day. Three groups filed a lawsuit on Friday in the Michigan Court of Claims. Dean Greenblatt is an attorney for the group Michigan Open Carry. He says Benson is acting outside of her authority.
The legislature is solely responsible for time, place, and manner restrictions, and also to ensure the purity of elections under the Constitution. Secretary of State doesn't have any say in this.
A statement from Benson's office says she has a responsibility to guard against voter intimidation. The lawsuit asks for an accelerated schedule for briefs and oral arguments so that the issue can be settled before Election Day. At a town hall-style listening session with U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue, Michigan farmers praised federal support of farmers during the pandemic. More from Ben Thorpe.
Representatives from the state's dry bean, soybean, dairy, and sugar industries thanked Perdue for his support during the pandemic. Farmers were especially happy with the way the federal government listened to them in developing the second coronavirus food assistance program. The president of the Michigan Farm Bureau called Perdue the farmer's secretary. Joe Kramer is the executive director of the Michigan Bean Commission.
Yeah, we had record sales during the pandemic. Our acreage increased, our prices have been good, so no complaints from the dry bean world.
Farmers voiced concerns about trade agreements moving forward. Perdue described trade with the European Union as intractable, but says if President Trump wins re-election, he's hopeful the president will, quote, bear down on the EU. I'm Ben Thorpe, WCMU News.
A Jackson County judge has set a $100,000 bond for one of the 14 men accused in the alleged terrorist plot to kidnap the governor. Pete Musico appeared remotely at the hearing on Friday. His attorney, Kareem Johnson, argued that Musico did not go along with the alleged plot.
He got kicked out because he was too damn soft. They kicked him out of the group because he was too soft and would not commit to violence.
Musico was being held on a $10 million bond. The judge reduced that amount and says if he posts bond to get out of jail, he will have to wear a GPS tether. Health officials say a new drug has made its way into Michigan, including in the Upper Peninsula. Gina Harris reports.
Public health officials warn people of the new drug, purple heroin. It's been linked to overdoses in the Upper Peninsula and the death of one person in southeast Michigan. Varun Vora is the director of Michigan Poison Center at Wayne State University. He says purple heroin may be a misused label.
The samples that we've come across or have been notified about, the purple heroin didn't actually contain any heroin. So the specific samples that we've had tested, it contained a plethora of different chemicals.
Vora says there have only been 7 reports of purple heroin across the country. Although these numbers are low, they want to try to get ahead of it to make sure it's not making inroads into Michigan. Gina Harris, WCMU News.
The fall harvest is well underway, and agricultural officials say many grape growers are finding themselves pleasantly surprised. After a warm start to the harvesting season, many grape crops are showing good yields and good quality. Nikki Rothwell is the fruit educator at Northwest Michigan Horticultural Research Center.
So we usually do a little bit of lighter reds just because we don't get those great growing degree days that you can accumulate for those really big full-bodied reds. But I think this year is going to be a really good one. And I think consumers are going to be really pleased with both white and red grape wine quality this year.
Rothwell says the high heat helped with making this year's grapes sweeter. She says growers and wine drinkers should be happy with this year's vintages. In November of 1974, Richard van der Veen was elected to the U.S. Congress from what was then Michigan's 5th District. Van der Veen was from Grand Rapids. He was the first Democrat in 60 years to be elected to represent that area in Congress. But he lost re-election 2 years later, and no Democrat has held the seat since. Now there's a Democrat who thinks she has a shot. Polls show a close race, and most of those votes in that district come from Kent County. Our reporter Dustin Dwyer has been talking with voters there.
You can learn a lot about the fate of the Republican Party in Kent County through the voting history of Jim Spicer. Spicer says he was staunchly Republican until 2008, when an Illinois senator named Barack Obama ran for president.
Yep, that was the first Democrat I ever voted for.
Obama was inspiring, Spicer says. He talked about bringing people together. That year, helped by voters like Spicer, Obama won Kent County and won the presidency. But almost immediately, Spicer says he was disappointed. In 2012, he voted Republican again, choosing Mitt Romney. Romney won Kent County. Fast forward another 4 years, Spicer wasn't going to vote for Hillary Clinton, but he also really doesn't like Donald Trump.
So I started looking into the quote-unquote third-party candidates, and Gary Johnson caught my eye.
Gary Johnson, the Libertarian. And now in 2020, Spicer says he's sticking with the Libertarian Party and voting for Joe Jorgensen for president. So what does all this mean for a congressional race? Well, all this time, the race for the 3rd District wasn't very competitive, but it tracks a lot of what Spicer was going through. I mean, Justin Amash, a Republican, also switched parties and is now a Libertarian, but he's not running for re-election. So, a district historically Republican, with at least some fed-up Republicans and no incumbent, could it switch? The choice comes down to Peter Meyer, a Republican, and Hillary Scolton, a Democrat. Spicer's vote?
I'm actually kind of excited about Peter Meyer.
Meyer served in the military, wants to cut government spending, supports protecting the Second Amendment, all things Spicer likes. So while Trump lost his vote for the presidency, Spicer at least is still picking a Republican for Congress. But polls now say it's a close race between Meyer and Scolton. And in the end, it may not come down to who voted in the past. A couple Sundays ago, I was on the south side of Grand Rapids, where some organizers and the city set up an event called Souls to the Polls outside New Hope Baptist Church. There was voter registration, absentee ballot drop-off, and early voting in the parking lot. And there were volunteers encouraging people in the neighborhood to cast their vote. They came across Benny Mayfield on a basketball court.
You weren't going to vote?
Nope.
Why not?
I mean, I figured that my vote don't have no say-so in it. Because they're corrupt. They're going to do what they want to do anyway.
Mayfield says he has voted before, but he wasn't going to vote this time until someone convinced him to. That day, I also met Angela Inge.
I have never voted.
Why?
I don't know why. I don't know. I didn't think it was important, but I didn't know it was as important. But I realized it's important.
So she voted this time. Mayfield didn't want to tell me who he voted for. Inge says she voted for all Democrats, including Scolton. They both live in a congressional district that's gone Republican almost every election for the past 100 years. But since 2016, the city has added more than 12,000 more registered voters. The county, the biggest county in the district, has added more than 37,000 registered voters. If these people come out and vote, not just for the president, but for the congressional race, their vote will determine the future history of the district. I'm Dustin Dwyer.
And that is your morning news roundup from WCMU. I'm Mike Horace. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk again tomorrow.